Good evening, everybody. I hope you're all well today. And if you were at Adnan and Jess's wedding yesterday, then congratulations on making it here. And I hope you don't have too big a headache. If you are new here today, I would like to give you an extra warm welcome. My name is Ellen, like Joel said, and I've been coming to the East Service for the past 3.5 years or so. So I'm basically part of the furniture now. I'm quite a creative soul. I work for I'm a menswear designer for the fashion brand COS. That was a mouthful for a second. And in my spare time, I love making ceramics, gardening, wild swimming, all those cliche East London things. But that's why you came to an East London church, right? To meet hipsters like me. just to throw in a quick caveat here before I start speaking, I had a horrific cold last week. It's not COVID. I've done all the PCRs, but it has left me with a bit of a strange voice, so I may need to take quite a few sips of water, and I'm so sorry if I cough again. I promise it's not COVID. Anyway, if I haven't scared you off already, a very warm welcome to you. If you've been to Christchurch recently, you will know that for the past few weeks, we've been working through a series looking at the I am sayings of Jesus. Many people throughout history have had different ideas about who Jesus was and what his relevance, his teachings have today. You've probably come here today with an image that's been shaped by lots of things, like where you went to school, what your family and friends think, maybe what you've learned in church, maybe what you've seen on TV or read in books. Is he crazy and delusional? Is he just a good man with some nice ideas? Is he a radical revolutionary? Is he a political agenda? Or is he more than that? These different views have helped build up an image of Jesus in our heads, be that positive or negative. But what about the man himself? Who did Jesus say he was? In Exodus 3:14, when Moses challenged God and said, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." That is what you are to say to the Israelites. "I am has sent me to you." God introduces himself by his personal name, Yahweh, or in English, "I am." And this is important for the Israelites, as they believed that a person's name reflected the individual's essence. Yahweh, or "I am," is a name shrouded in mystery and does not limit God's nature to any particular characteristic. He is what he is, and his nature does not change. So for generations, the Israelites have worshipped Yahweh, the mysterious, unchanging, all-powerful God. And then in the New Testament, we see this shift. Along comes Jesus, fully God and fully man, someone who we can relate to and who is able to show us more about who God is and what he is like. And he starts listing off these claims. "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate. I am the resurrection and the life." And the Israelites listening will be sitting there and thinking, "Whoa, hold up. I am. Haven't we heard that somewhere before? I am. Yahweh. Wait. Is this guy claiming to be God?" So for the past few weeks, we've looked at these crazy, bold claims that Jesus makes about who he is and what that means for our lives. "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate. I am the resurrection and the light." And today, we will be looking at "I am the good shepherd." Now, this claim of Jesus's follows directly on from Joel's talk, which he did 2 weeks ago, "I am the gate." He's just healed a man born blind, and the Pharisees have come to investigate what's been going on. challenging Jesus for healing on the Sabbath and questioning whether he's from God or not. Jesus responds by saying that he is the gate, and whoever enters through him will be saved. If you missed Joel's talk a few weeks ago, I'd really recommend catching up on the podcast. It's a cracker. Anyway, then he says this. John 10, verses 11 to 21. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Now, when Joel asked me to do this preach a few weeks ago, I got excited because here's a little known fact about me. I follow a lot of Instagram accounts about sheep. There you go. Didn't think that was the kind of thing out there, did you? Trust me, farmers' Instagrams, that's where it's at. Anyway, there are two accounts in particular that I really enjoy. This guy who is called the Super Serious Farmer, and this woman who's called the Swiss Shepherdess. They're pretty contrasting accounts. The Super Serious Farmer shows you the unglamorous but kind of humorous side of farming. The sheep that got stuck in a fence, the lambs he sprayed with the England flags for the World Cup, the wheelie bin for dead animals, which is crawling with maggots, that kind of thing. I'm glad I didn't put that slide up, didn't you? The Swiss Shepherdess, on the other hand, has a gorgeous account which documents her life in the Swiss Alps. She knows each of the sheep in her flock by name. They come when they're called. They trust her, and she spends her time roaming the mountains with them, finding the best spots of pasture, herding up the ones that get lost, and guarding them from predators with the help of her gorgeous livestock guardian dogs. And when I think of a good shepherd, I definitely think of her rather than the guy who takes photos of dead animals in the back of his pickup truck. Maybe he's not an awful shepherd, but he's definitely not good in the same way she is. I know which life I'd rather leave if I had a sheep, if I was a sheep. Anyway, in our passage, Jesus claims to be the good shepherd who will lay down his life for his sheep. Unlike me, this won't have triggered images of Instagram accounts in the minds of his listeners, but the people who he was speaking to, the religious elite, did, surprisingly, know a thing or two about good and bad shepherds. You see, the shepherd was a common Old Testament image for leaders, both good and bad. And the people listening to Jesus speak will be able to recall numerous shepherds of Israel, some good, like David and Moses, but many bad, some pure rotten eggs, and some with good intentions who just got it wrong. Maybe Jesus is saying that the previous leaders of Israel can be surmounted to hired hands. All fall short in some way. And when the going gets tough, abandon Israel and save themselves. But Jesus is the true shepherd. In contrast to Israel's other rulers who are unfaithful shepherds, he will never leave us or abandon us to the wolves, but will instead lay his life down for us. The shepherd dying for his sheep is a pretty radical move. I don't think that any of the shepherds that I follow on Instagram would lay down their life to save one of their flock. In fact, the idea of them doing that is utterly absurd. We would consider their lives far more valuable than that of the sheep. But Jesus doesn't see us like that at all. Philippians 2 says that Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used as his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. By taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus' approach to shepherding involved laying down his life for the sheep. Jesus, the good shepherd, loved you, his sheep, so much that he would die for you, and not only for you, but for anyone who calls on his name. In Samuel 1:17, it says that David risked his life for the sheep. But Jesus goes further, literally dying in their place. And whereas the sheep usually referred to Israel, Jesus says he has sheep that are not of this fold, meaning Gentiles too. He's attacking so many of the Pharisees' ideas, implying that they are bad shepherds of Israel, and challenging their view of who can be saved, and most controversially, claiming to be God. In calling himself the Good Shepherd, Jesus is claiming to be Israel's true leader. Like Moses and David before him, and unlike the religious leaders of the day, it is also a claim to divinity, since the true good shepherd, who even David called his shepherd, is God himself. As both God and man, Jesus fulfills the role of human leader and divine shepherd. So, how do we live as a result of having Jesus, our divine shepherd? Quite simply, Jesus is asking us to let him be our shepherd. We are sheep in desperate need of guidance, and he is beckoning us towards him, asking us to let him show us the way. As sheep, we need a shepherd. Sheep left to their own devices can do some pretty daft things like get stuck in barbed wire or down ditches or up trees or get their heads wedged in buckets. The list goes on. And we, as God's people, also need constant guidance. When you follow Jesus and turn to him for the first time, it's an incredible thing. Knowing that all the things that we're not proud of or that weigh us down or create in us feelings of guilt, things that the Bible calls sin. Knowing that all of these things are forgiven and that you are at the beginning of a journey of restoration, personal renewal, and a loving relationship with our Creator has brought so much joy to my life. And if you haven't started that journey yet, Jesus is always inviting you to begin. I would really encourage you to let him into your life and be your shepherd. But the thing is that the shepherding doesn't end there. When Jesus saved me, he wiped the slate clean and made me new and sinless in God's eyes, but I still do stupid stuff. I still get trapped in barbed wire sometimes. I still definitely need a shepherd. Life is a journey, and the most exciting thing is getting to walk alongside God and allowing him to mold and shape you as you walk with him. It's a continual process and one that draws us closer to him. Like any relationship, the more you walk with someone, the more you understand them and get to become like them. In what we could describe as the age of the self or the age of authenticity, following someone else's lead instead of your own is a pretty radical act. In fact, it's completely countercultural. Society tells us that to find freedom, we must be true to ourselves. Follow your heart. You do you. You know what's right for you. Live, laugh, love. The endless scrolling through motivational posts in cursive fonts on stock image backgrounds of sunset beaches drums it into me that I am the master of my own destiny. But am I really free, or am I exhausted? Does this removal of constraints liberate me? Or in the pursuit of freedom, have I become my own jailer? I don't know about you, but I think I need a shepherd. It's in surrender to him that I find my freedom. Another illustration often used to describe this part of God's character in the Bible is God as the potter. And I think this illustration can help us delve a bit deeper into what it means to allow God to continuously shepherd and mold you. You see, a beautiful vase isn't made all at once. It's a process which has many stages and can take weeks or sometimes even months, depending on the complexity of the piece. So first of all, a potter will throw the initial shape of the pot on a wheel. And I like to think that this is a bit like our initial salvation as Christians. It's a pot. It's no longer an unformed lump of clay. There has been a radical transformation that has taken place from this to this. And it's now a tangible, recognizable thing. When I was saved, I remember it felt like this huge transformation happened, and things that I'd struggled with before instantly changed. I remember I used to say, "Oh my God," a lot as a curse. And my parents and family friends at church used to tell me off all the time and be really offended by my saying it. And I tried so hard to change that in my own strength, but never could. But when I was saved, that just clicked, and it was like old Ellen, lump of clay Ellen, said that stuff, but new Ellen, pot Ellen, just couldn't form those words anymore. There was a radical transformation that happened instantaneously, and everyone around me could hear from the language that I was using that I'd gone from the lump of the clay to the pot. Whatever your story, whether there was a specific moment, like me, where you realized you'd been saved, or whether your pot took a little bit longer to form its shape, something has visibly changed. But as you can see, this isn't a finished vase by any means. It's still a bit lumpy around the edges. The walls are quite thick, and it definitely isn't a beautiful color. For me, although God had radically changed one aspect of how I used language, he definitely hadn't changed it all, and I was and still am sometimes pretty potty-mouthed. And that's an area that God continues to chip away at and mold me in to look more like him. So the next stage for the potter, then, is to get this lumpy pot and dry it out a bit, and then trim the shape. The potter will use tools to scrape away the excess clay and transform this pot into a much more beautiful shape. You can see the bottom there is quite a nice shape now. This is a really skillful process and takes a lot of time and care and attention. Sometimes letting God shepherd us means letting him do exactly this. As we walk alongside him and get to know him better, he gradually scrapes away our rough edges and forms us into this beautiful vessel. But even though we're this beautiful shape, we're still a long way off from being a finished pot. And without God's Spirit, we're weak. This pot needs to be fired in order to make it strong. That woke some of you up, didn't it? At this stage of production, the pot will be put into a kiln and heated up to temperatures of over 1,000 degrees Celsius and left for several hours. And this transforms it from this weak, crumbly clay into a solid vessel that is much harder to break. Like this pot, we need to be fired. We need to continuously invite the Holy Spirit fire of God into our lives in order to give us strength and resilience. See how much harder this is to break now? No, I'm not going to drop it. Allowing God to be our shepherd not only scrapes away our rough edges and gives us strength and resilience, but it also adds color and beauty to our lives. The final stage for any pot is the glaze stage. And this is where the glorious iridescent color is added. They go on as these chalky, dull colors, and the fire just brings them to life and makes them sparkle and dance. Maybe you need God's Holy Spirit fire to bring you to life again and re-illuminate the colors in your life. Psalm 23 says this: "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So today, whichever pot you can relate to, I would like to invite you to receive more of God in your life. Whether you are here at the clay stage and you want to find out more about what it might mean to be a follower of Jesus and let him mold your shape instead of being molded by the world around you, or you're here, a freshly thrown pot, excited and expectant for more. Or maybe you're here before it broke. Maybe God is trimming off some rough edges, and that can be painful, and that's okay. Or maybe today you need God's strength through a fresh anointing of his Holy Spirit fire. Or maybe you need that same fire to re-illuminate some colors for you. Wherever we are at, God wants to walk this journey alongside us, to shepherd us, and to show us the path that leads to ultimate freedom. So as the band come back up, I'm going to pray for us. And if anything has touched you today, I would really encourage you to come and get prayer during the song, singing and time of response. The prayer team should be on hand to pray for you, so please just come forward and make the most of that opportunity as we sing. But first, I'll pray. Father God, thank you so much that you want to walk beside us. Thank you, Jesus, that it is your greatest desire to travel along the road with us, to journey with us through life. God, thank you that you are a good God and we can trust you with our lives. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would come down now. Lord, where people need strength, would you strengthen them? Where people need color, would you re-illuminate, God? where people are being trimmed, God, would you give them grace to see that? And God, I pray that if anyone here has just been thrown, God, on the wheel, Lord, that you would ignite a passion and a fire in them. Lord, would you meet them in their excitement, God? Holy Spirit, would you come now as we sing? Lord, would you meet people where they're at as we continue to walk down this road with you? Jesus, come into our lives. Lord, yeah, reawaken us. Thank you that we get to walk this journey with you. And thank you that you are a good shepherd. Amen.